glad to be here this morning. I'm honored to be able to open the word. But before we get going too far, I want to take just a second to remind all the kids, to encourage all the kids. You guys have the amazing opportunity to go out right now and learn something on your own level. I love that we are part of a church that values kids being able to learn at a level that they understand a little bit better. And so right now we're going to invite the kids to be a part of that and go back to kids church. I also love the fact that we have adults within our fellowship here that value our kids so much that they're willing to give up their time to be able to prepare a lesson and to be able to take those kids back and teach them on a level that they can understand really, really well. So it's just all together. It's amazing to be able to be a part of a church that welcomes people wherever they are. And with that said, we also want to welcome those of you that are joining us online throughout Ogle County, throughout the U.S., and sometimes throughout the world. We are blessed in a time with technology that allows us to broaden our spiritual family beyond what's just physically with us. And so we want to welcome those of you that are joining us online. We also want to say, if you're joining us online, if you're in Ogle County, we would love, if you're looking for a spiritual home, to come join us. We have coffee, we have snacks, we have phenomenal people, we have great comfortable chairs, we have worship, we have great teaching, and we have more than that, we have discipleship for every age group. And so it's a great time for us to be together. And it's also, you know, when you think about, just for a moment, when we think about our spiritual family, there's something really powerful. I don't know if you guys have felt this. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. You know, those of you that are joining us online as well. There's something just really powerful about joining together with your spiritual family. There's something encouraging about that. You see, when you're with your family, you're typically encouraged and you're loved, right? That's true of our physical family. When you're with your physical family, you are encouraged, you're loved, you experience healing and care when you're around those that love you and those that you love. And the same is true when we're together with our spiritual family. There's a reason that whenever, I just want to be clear, there's a reason that whenever there's a traumatic experience in anyone's life, the first thing that we do is we run to family, right? Like that's typically the thing. We want to be with family. We want to see family. We want to experience this traumatic experience together with our loved ones, with those that we care about. You tend to want to be with family. Like that's something ingrained in us. As a matter of fact, I want to share a time with you. So this is true of our physical family, but it's also true of our spiritual family. I think I might have shared some of this before, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but back in about 2010, our family was without a church home at that time. We were without a spiritual family. We were orphans at that time, spiritually orphaned. We had just left the church that I was serving at as the youth pastor, and we had spent a couple of weeks worshiping at home. We wanted, you know, looking for a church home, discovering who your spiritual family is going to be, that can be a taxing time, right? And so we took a few weeks and we decided we wanted to worship at home and we wanted to kind of solidify ourselves as a family before we began to look and pray and decide where the Lord was leading us. And throughout that time, you know, after we spent a couple of weeks at home, we started visiting churches and trying to pray and trying to just kind of get a feel for where the Lord was leading us. Well, in the process of that happening, we had a pretty hard situation happen within our extended family. And I won't get into all the details, but Beth's mom had experienced a traumatic event. And so we were, at that time of this traumatic event, we were without a spiritual family to be able to cling to be able to hold to be able to be encouraged by. Right? And that was, I have to say, without hesitation, that was probably one of the hardest times in our married life, was during that time when we did not have a spiritual family. Now, why do I share that? I share that because those of you that are joining us online, those of you that are joining us here in person, if you are not part of a spiritual family, listen, it's just important. The encouragement, the love, the grace that you get from your experience, from your spiritual family is not matched. Yes, we have our physical family, right? And that is incredibly important. And we are even more blessed when our physical family is matched with our spiritual family. Like when there's overlap, that is an incredible blessing. But our spiritual family is just important, right? And I can't say strong enough how important your spiritual family is. And you know, that's something actually that Peter and John knew as well. Peter and John, we're in the middle of this series right now called the Book of Acts, an origin story. We're learning about the history of the church and kind of how the church got started. And right now we are in season 1, episode 9. Now I'm breaking it down this way in terms of season and episode just to kind of bundle things together. And the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, we all love a good origin story, right? Like Hollywood has taught us that. Origin stories are huge. We all love the idea of getting to know why things are the way that they are and understanding kind of the history of that. And so that's what we're looking at. We're in the middle of this series, and we've taken these last few weeks to learn a little bit about why the church is the way that it is, broadly speaking. But also, it's interesting to be able to learn a little bit about the church as in Leaf River Baptist Church. A little bit about who we are, why we are the way that we are. As a matter of fact, did you know that back in 1984, LRBC formed, Leaf River Baptist Church formed for the first time, and they took up a very specific mission. Those of you that were around at that time, you probably remember all of the meetings, all of the prayer, all of the conversations, all of the Bible studies that went into putting this church together and kind of seeking the Lord. But they formed and they took up a very specific mission. The mission of Leaf River Baptist Church is to guide people to a life of faith in Jesus Christ and then on to lives that are fully devoted to Him. That's a really important piece of information because it's actually why we exist as a church today, right? It's why we were formed back in 1984, and that historical mission of LRBC is still true today. Yeah, a lot of things are different, right? The way that worship happens is different. The way that the stage looks is definitely different. Back in 1984, there wasn't a stage yet. We were still at that point meeting in various places, the Bertollet Center and various schools, I believe. And so things are different. But the main goal, the main vision, the main purpose of our existence is just as true today as it was back in 1984. The same is true about the eternal church. It started way back in the book of Acts. Things look a lot different today than they did 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, for one thing, we have cars. That's a pretty big improvement, I think. So things are a lot different, but we have seen, when we look all the way back to the very beginning, to when the church began, to when the church first started, we saw that Jesus gave a job to the church. He said that you would be my witnesses, right? That's a very specific thing. He's asking the believers, he's asking the disciples at that time, he's not really asking, he's telling the disciples, you will be my witnesses. As a matter of fact, I've occasionally asked this question. How have you personally participated in the mission of the church? Because that same mission, that same job that Jesus gave the original church, he's given to us today. We are called to be his witnesses. So how have you personally participated in the mission of the church? That's a pretty intense reminder that we should actually be a part of this. That question is relevant to the mission given to the eternal church as well as to the mission that LRBC formed together with back in 1984. But it's not everything. That's not everything that happened. Jesus didn't just give a mission and then say, okay, I'm done. No, there's a lot more to it, right? We saw that the early Christians devoted themselves to spiritual growth and fellowship. That was actually an important thing. They wanted to grow together, so they met together, they prayed together, they studied the scriptures together, they learned from each other, they heard each other's story, they were impacted by each other, and they ate together. There's something intimate about sharing a meal together, right? And so they ate together. And then last week we saw that Peter and John were arrested. They were arrested for what they did, and they were able to speak boldly. Listen to this. This is crazy. They were able to speak boldly in the face of persecution. And ultimately, last week, we saw that it really is the Holy Spirit that provides boldness to proclaim the gospel in the face of persecution. That the Holy Spirit does actually, like, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. It's to provide boldness to proclaim the gospel in the face of persecution. But what about after that moment of boldness? Like you're faced with opposition, you're faced with maybe some persecution, you speak boldly, then what? What do you do next? Or do you continue alone? Do they continue, just the two of them, say, you know what, we're just going to do our thing together? Or did they do something else that's really profound, something else that's really impactful as believers? Well, I believe, as we're going to learn this morning, we're going to pick up with Peter and John, and we're going to learn how they recuperated from this intense experience of speaking boldly in the face of opposition. Look, it's not easy. And I'm sure those of you with friends, those of you with family, those of you with jobs, you know it's not easy to speak boldly to a friend or to a neighbor or to a coworker, right? It's very difficult. It's very emotional to just lay it all on the line. And so we're going to see today how they recuperated from this potentially dangerous opposition that they've just experienced. And we see this morning that these men, Peter and John, they knew that being alone and not being a part of their spiritual family, not going to their spiritual family, not clinging to their spiritual family, was not going to be beneficial to them. And so that's what they did. They went to their spiritual family. We see this morning that they left jail and they immediately went to be with their family. That's what we're going to look at today. Their family, this is interesting, was already praying for them, not knowing the full situation. They, you know, the whole family didn't know everything that was going on in the lives of Peter and John, but they did know that they should be praying for them. And that's something that spiritual families do together, right? We pray this morning. We prayed for various needs. We pray throughout the week for various needs. As we learn things, we stop. We pray for our spiritual family. That's just what we do. And that's what they did back then. So let's dive in today. Let's look and see how they joined their family. How they joined their family. So we're going to read this passage. We're going to hit a very short passage today. We're not going to go really, really far. We're going to go in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23 and going through verse 31. So follow along with me. We have scriptures available on the screen. We have Bibles available in the back. We have the Bible app as well you can follow along with. So Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, this is the city there were, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servants Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. The signs and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your glory, and thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the boldness that you gave these men and you gave the early Christians. Lord, as we dive into your word this morning, I ask, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us, that you will convict us as necessary, encourage us as necessary, and empower, embolden us as necessary as believers. In your name we pray. Amen. So right off the bat, I want to ask you a question. Here's my question. What does a family do? Like your physical family, what does a family do? If you have a hard time, if you're going through some stuff, you go to your family and your family listens, right? A family listens. They listen to your hurts. They listen to your situation. They listen to your struggles. However, in this case, there's a very specific thing that a spiritual family does with you. So I'm going to rephrase the question. What does a spiritual family do? What does a spiritual family do? Well, a spiritual family takes your hurts, takes your situations, takes your struggles to the Lord. A spiritual family prays. Okay, so then of course we read this passage. It doesn't necessarily, I want to be clear, it doesn't necessarily say that when they were released, they went to their family, does it? Specifically, the word used is friends. Well, I want to be clear about this. This word is translated friends, but the original language of this word is not quite so simple. It's not quite just as easy as saying friends. That's the best way we can describe it. But this word actually means fellow Christians or family. To be more specific, it means relatives, but not in the familial sense, not in the DNA sense, in the relational sense, in the spiritual sense. So here we have Peter and John. They're leaving the Sanhedrin, who has just threatened them, and immediately they're going to their spiritual family. They're going to the people that care for them. They're going to the people that will lift them up to the Lord. That's actually one of the most profound things we can do as believers. When we're going through stuff, and we all go through stuff. Let's just be honest for a moment here. We all go through stuff. One of the most profound things we can do as believers is go to our spiritual family and say, hey, I'm struggling. Hey, this thing just happened and this is really hard. Hey, I need some prayer for my job situation, for my family situation, for my financial situation, for my whatever it is. Our physical family is immensely important. It's immensely important, and God willing, they are part of your spiritual family. But there's something unique about your spiritual family. You know what that uniqueness is? Your spiritual family includes the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference. Your spiritual family includes the Holy Spirit. In fact, that is the bond that actually holds us together. That is the bond that holds us together in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of everything that we've got going on in our various lives. The bond that holds us together is the fact that the Holy Spirit is part of our family. So they're now together, and the first thing that they do, the first thing that they do is they listen to what happened. The spiritual family, they listen. They understand. They're genuinely interested in what happened to Peter and John. They genuinely want to know what the situation is. And you know why they're genuinely interested? Because you can't fully pray, you can't fully invest yourself spiritually if you have no idea what's actually going on. So they're genuinely interested in what's happening. However, the most important thing that they did is they prayed together. That is the most important thing that the spiritual family does together. And now for the next couple of minutes, I want to take a moment and I want to look at what they prayed. I want to look at how they prayed, and I want to see if we can learn something about the way that they prayed as a family together. And as a matter of fact, I think that we're going to see three themes of their prayer together. I think as they prayed together, I think there's three things that we can kind of pull out and we can hopefully potentially incorporate into our own prayers and into our own spiritual family and into our own interactions, right? So the first thing that they did, right off the bat, is they acknowledged God. They acknowledged God in the midst of the situation. They immediately begin to reflect back to God and who He is. Look at what the Christians said. Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. Sovereign Lord. Immediately, they're reflecting back to God that they acknowledge His sovereignty and His oversight in everything that's going on, in everything that they're experiencing, in everything that they're going to experience. They're acknowledging right there that God is in fact in charge. They continue. They remember what was said through David. David, as he wrote Psalm 2, you can go back and read that. They remember what was said through David as he wrote Psalm 2, relating to God's triumph over Israel's enemies. And now the Christians are seeing this as an example to remember. They're remembering the historical facts about what happened, the historical things that God has done for the believers, the historical realities. They're remembering that and they're saying, okay, well, if God did that, well, then He can also handle this. If God was real and present then, well, He can sure be real and present today. So let me ask you a question. We're in 2021. Our culture, our society does in no way reflect what it was like back there 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago. So can we do what they did? I mean, just practically, and I just want you to think about this for a moment. Can we look at Scripture and can we actually remember the amazingness of the Lord and the sovereignty of the Lord? Can we look at Scripture and can we actually, just as human beings that are alive in 2021, can we actually look back at the historical things that happened in Scripture and say, well, if God did that, He certainly can do this? Or do we feel too far removed from that sometimes? Can we look at Scripture and remember the amazingness of our Lord? Can we look at Scripture and be encouraged as believers? Are we willing to do that? In reality, we can look back at our own lives, right? And I can look back and I can say, man, it was amazing when Beth did this thing for me, you know, a few weeks ago. She made me an omelet and it was so good. And if Beth made me an omelet a few weeks ago, I bet she'd be willing to make me an omelet again today. And that would be amazing. Like, I can easily do that. But can I go back 2,000 years ago and say, if Jesus did that then Jesus can do this now? Can I actually do that? Am I willing to do that? Can we be encouraged that God is sovereign over our circumstances, over our situations, just like He was then? Now, let me reflect this to you just for a moment. Did you realize that they're reflecting what God did to David, for David, 2,000 years prior to their current situation? So they're looking at historical things 2,000 years, 3,000 years prior, and they're saying, if God did that 2,000 years ago, He can do this today. So why can't we look back and say, if Jesus did that 2,000 years ago, Jesus can do this today? It's the same thing. But are we willing to do that? Or, and this is hard, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not really sorry. Can we do that? Or would we rather feel sorry for ourselves? Would we rather feel like, well, you know, I'm going through this hard situation and I just want to feel sorry for myself today? Many times we're in situations that we have zero control over. Many times we're in situations that aren't caused by ourselves. It's caused by something else that's external to it's not our decisions that caused us to be in our current situations. Other times it is our decisions that caused us to be in our current situations. But in the midst of either one of those situations, are we willing to focus on God and what God has historically done throughout all of eternity, or would we rather feel bad about my situation? Would I rather be focused, here's the reality, would I rather be focused on myself or on God? Now these Christians, they joined together and they chose, as a spiritual family together, they chose to focus on their God. And then after that, after they took a moment and they reflected God's glory and God's sovereignty, the next thing that they did is they acknowledged their suffering. It's not a secret. They're not trying to hide the pain that they're in, the reality of what they're going through. So they acknowledged their suffering. We see that in verse 29. The Christian said, "And now, Lord, look upon our threats. Lord, now, we know you did these amazing things, but Lord, now look at this. This is scary, God. I'm nervous, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen here, Lord. This is really a hard situation, Lord." See, the Christians were acknowledging the reality of the threats that have been made against them, specifically against them. Remember, the Sanhedrin said, "Don't talk about this anymore." And they kind of left it with this ambiguous, "Don't talk about it or else." They didn't really say what the "or else" was, right? But they kind of left this ambiguous, like, if you want to continue talking about this Jesus guy and this resurrection thing, if you're going to do that, there's going to be consequences. And so the Christians, they're together and they say, "God, you are amazing, and God, you have done amazing things. And now, Lord, here's our situation." They're acknowledging the reality of these threats. Sanhedrin is clear. And Peter and John have already told these men. They've already told the Sanhedrin, if you remember last week. They were pretty bold to their face. They've already told the Sanhedrin that they would rather obey God than man. Like, they were pretty blunt. They said, basically, "Hey, you know what? If you want to obey man or God, that's up to you. But for me, we're going to obey God because we think he's a little bit more powerful than you. We think he's a little bit more important than you are." So that's kind of where they were coming from. So Peter and John, they've already told these men that they would rather obey God. Now they have told the entire spiritual family, everybody else, they've told them about these threats that have come down, right? And now everyone else has to make their own decisions. Peter and John wasn't speaking for everyone. Peter and John were speaking for Peter and John. And now the rest of the Christians have to be faced with, "What am I going to do? Lord, here's the threats." I don't know, Lord. Everyone in the room that heard the words that Peter and John shared, that heard what the Sanhedrin was saying, everyone in that room has to now make their own decisions. Will I obey God or will I obey man? Will I obey man or God? Now here's the thing. Let's be real for a moment. We face circumstances like that today, do we not? As Christians today in 2021, we face circumstances like that. Am I going to obey God or am I going to obey man? Every day we're faced with situations like that. As a matter of fact, Brother Jim acknowledged this a few weeks ago, right? When he reflected to us, when he showed us that pastors around the globe today are being threatened to either stop preaching the gospel or go to jail. That's a reality. There are parts of the world that if you are found to be Christian, going to jail would be easy. Will I obey God or will I obey man? There are Christians currently that are being threatened to go against their biblical beliefs for various reasons. Or lose their job. Or lose their homes. Or get kicked out of the country. or get kicked out of their life, having their life taken from them. People all over the globe are being told to deny Christ or live as an outcast. All over the globe this is happening. This isn't happening just in some, you know, third world quiet countries. This is happening all over the globe. We think of those in Afghanistan. Afghanistan that recently was turned back over to the Taliban, and now the Taliban actively hunts and kills Christians. That's their mission, is to kill Christians in that country, or that's one of their missions. We've seen millions of dollars be raised by various private organizations, millions of dollars be raised to be able to send over and rescue these missionaries so that these missionaries can leave that place. But then, this is amazing, listen to this, this is so cool. Then you have a group of missionaries that have said, you know what, we're not going anywhere because God's called us to be here. In the face of danger, in the face of the risk of losing their lives, they've said, I'm not leaving because there's people here that need Jesus. They've stayed boldly where they risk danger. They acknowledge their suffering. They acknowledge the threats. But what do we do with these threats? As believers here in 2021, what do we do with these threats? When we feel the pressure, what do we do? When we feel the pressure of, you know, obey man rather than God, and do we dismiss it? Do we come up with a reason? What do we do with that? Well, the early church, here's what they did. This is amazing, y'all. This is just amazing. In the early church, in the face of these threats, they requested boldness. They requested boldness. Now, guys, I want to just point out how awesome this is, because this was not their prayer. Their prayer was not, Lord, we've seen you do amazing things, and you know, you've rescued your believers, you've rescued your people before. So Lord, we just ask that you eliminate the Sanhedrin and allow us to live the lives that we think that we're supposed to live here today. That wasn't their prayer. Their prayer was, Lord, there's these threats. Give us boldness to not back down from the gospel. They didn't pray for the consequences of their boldness to go away. They didn't pray for there to be a change in the reality of the situation that they were living in. No, they're asking God for the courage to do what they've been called to do despite the risk. They're asking for courage to stand up for the gospel. So when's the last time that you put that in a prayer? We all pray for each other a lot, right? We pray for those around us. We pray for family and friends. We pray for a lot of people. But when's the last time you put that in a prayer? Lord, give me the boldness to do what you've called me to do, no matter what the consequences. Lord, I know that if I do this, if I stand up, if I say the Christian thing, if I witness, that there's a really good chance, Lord, I'm gonna lose my job. So, Lord, give me the courage to do it anyway. When's the last time that was in your prayer? And I just want to put a little bit of pressure on for a minute. And I'll be honest, this is pressure on me too, right? The last time you were faced with persecution, you were faced with suffering of some sort, did you ask God for the courage to share the gospel? Or did you ask God to change the circumstances? That's a big difference. It's a little bit convicting. If I ask God for the courage to share the gospel instead of asking God to remove the obstacles, then that means I'm saying, God, I don't care what the situation is, and I'm putting your glory and your everything above myself and above maybe as far as my own life. It's really easy to pray and ask God to protect me in the face of my circumstances, right? It's really easy for us to pray and ask God to protect me and remove my struggles, remove my sufferings. That's not a bad prayer, but it's completely different than acknowledging to God that this is what He's called me to do, and Lord, just give me the courage to follow through. It kind of takes courage in and of itself to ask God for courage. That's a hard thing to do. Look at what the Christian said. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Grant to continue to speak boldly. Lord, I know things are not going to be easy. Lord, I know things are about to get really, really hairy. And so, Lord, just give me the courage to speak boldly the gospel. Lord, just, I know it's going to be really hard. I know, Lord, I know that I may lose my job because my boss has already said, if you tell one more person about Jesus, you're fired. Lord, I know things are about to get really hard because I live in a culture that says if you believe Jesus, you're a bad person. If you're a Christian, you're a bad person. Lord, I know things are about to get hard. But give me the boldness. Give me the courage to be bold so that I can speak up for the gospel. Grant us the courage. Grant us the courage to put targets on our backs. That's a hard prayer, y'all. Like, let's just be honest and reflect on that for a minute. Grant me the courage to put a target on my back while I confront my brother in sin. Lord, grant me the courage to put a target on my back as I call my sister to repentance. As I point out the reality of the gospel to the person that I love, I don't want to lose a relationship, Lord, but grant me the courage to stand true to the gospel. Not to continue to speak easily. Not to continue to just fly under the radar. But to speak boldly. To speak truthfully. Lord, grant me the courage to speak boldly to my coworkers, to my family. Lord, I don't care about the repercussions. Because I know historically, Lord, you have done amazing things. And I know that you are sovereign over all of these situations. And the reality is, Lord, you already know the end of this situation. So just grant me the courage to speak boldly for you. Here's the best part. They pray this, and I love this so much. This is so cool. They prayed for boldness, and you know what happened? God moved. God moved in big ways. He responded in the most affirmative way that we can possibly imagine. God's response to these Christians is one of power and boldness in and of itself. God's response to these Christians wasn't, okay, go ahead and do something. It was, boom, I'm going to make the house rock, and I'm going to let you know that the Holy Spirit is with you because you need boldness. The house shook, and the Holy Spirit filled them all. Now, there's a common question here, and it's a question, I think it's a fair question to ask. Is this a new filling of the Holy Spirit? Is this a renewed filling? Is this a renewed awakening? You know, what is this? And here's what theologian John Polhill says. He says it was a fresh filling. And here's the most important part. A renewed awareness of the Spirit's power and presence in their life and witness. Imagine just for a moment, just what would you do if you knew the Holy Spirit was with you? I didn't ask if you believe the Holy, you know, yes, I've read the Bible, I believe the Holy Spirit, but what would I do if I knew the Holy Spirit was with me? That the Holy Spirit would give me the words to speak, would give me the courage to act. What would I do? Would I be willing to do for God? In other words, this is a reminder to this group of new Christians. Since the early church, almost all of the Christians are new Christians within, you know, a year. This is a reminder to this early church that the Holy Spirit has empowered them to do exactly what God has called them to do. They've been given a job, they've been given a mission, they've been given the Holy Spirit. They're scared, they're nervous, they're praying for boldness, and God says, bam, remember you have the Holy Spirit. And now here we are this morning. And we're all faced, every single one of us here this morning is faced with some sort of suffering, some sort of particular situation in our own lives. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but Pastor Billy, you don't understand my situation. Pastor Billy, this is all great. This is really good stuff, Pastor Billy. And I love, you know, the way that you've seen this in the book of Acts and the early church. And that's really cool. But you know, you don't really understand what I'm going through. What I'm going through is different. Well, here's the thing. You're right. I may not understand what you're going through, but here's what I do know. I know the one who understands what you're going through. Because the reality is that you have, if you're a believer, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you can stand here today and say that I am a sinner and the Lord has saved me from my sin and I am His child, then you have the Holy Spirit. Which means you have the one that knows everything that you're going through. Did you know that God is sovereign? I don't mean, did you read it in the Bible one time? I mean, do you know in your heart, not mentally, emotionally, spiritually, do you know that God is actually sovereign over every situation that we encounter as Christians or as non-Christians? Some of you that may be here this morning. God is actually sovereign, and here's what that means. That means He already knows the situation that you're going through, and He already knows the result of that situation. He already knows what's going to happen. That's the God that we serve. So, let me come back to a question that I think I asked earlier. Am I going to be focused more on God? Or am I going to be focused more on my situation, my struggles, me, in other words? Christian, yeah, those of you that are Christians, specifically, I want to speak just very plainly for those of you that are Christians that are here joining us online. Did you know, listen, this is going to be hard maybe a little bit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Did you know that it is actually prideful, listen, it's actually prideful for you to feel badly for yourself? You see, the whole idea of pride is being focused on yourself. You know, when you move forward, you know how to move forward from feeling sorry for yourself, from feeling bad about yourself, about your situation. You know how to move forward from feeling down about whatever particular situation you might be in and feeling sad for yourself or feeling worried or feeling scared about what might happen in your life. Listen to this. Stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on God. Amen. I have never once met a person that is truly focused on God, meaning reflecting God's glories, acknowledging God's goodness, that then talked about how horrible their life was. Because when we reflect God's glory in our lives, then we have no choice but to be joyful because we get to be part of that. So stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on God. You see, these early Christians, they acknowledged God and they acknowledged their circumstance. And then they asked God for the courage to share the gospel boldly. But they acknowledged God first. And they asked for the courage to share the gospel in the midst of opposition, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of danger. To share the gospel in every situation. So Christian, I want to encourage you. I want to admonish you, listen, to pray for boldness for to be able to speak the gospel into every situation that you encounter, whether it's today or this week or next month. Share the gospel in the midst of certain death. Share the gospel in the midst of any situation that you may come across. Listen, we have plenty of opportunity, if we're really honest for a moment. We have plenty of opportunity to struggle. We have a whole lot of time that we struggle, right, with various things, various situations, various circumstances. And we all struggle. And that's why prayer is so important. Listen, prayer is not just the thing that we do when we get together on Sunday mornings. Prayer is not just the thing that we say, you know, in order to actually be a Christian, we're supposed to pray on Sundays, so we slide it into our worship service. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is actually us going to the Lord, reflecting to the Lord who He is, His goodness, His greatness, acknowledging our situations, and then asking for His boldness, asking for His courage. See, the early church, they didn't rely on their own strength to do what God called them to do. Because if they did, they would have failed. Guarantee. LRBC today, right now in 2021, we're not going to rely on our own strength to reach Leaf River. We're not going to rely on our own strength to fill 30 boxes. We're going to rely on the Lord. Because the reality is, if we rely on ourselves, we are guaranteed to fail. So we go to the Lord in prayer. We take everything that we have, every situation, every concern, every praise, and we take it to the Lord. And then we ask for boldness to do what God's called us to do. Now, if you're here this morning, if you're listening online this morning or this afternoon or whenever it is you're listening, and you're wondering, what is all of, like, I don't understand this family concept. You know, Pastor Billy, you're always talking about we're a family. You've talked about the spiritual family. I don't really understand what that is. Then I want to encourage you to talk to me, to talk to one of the elders. Let's have a conversation about what a spiritual family actually is and what it means to be part of a spiritual family. And I'm not talking about specifically church membership right now. I'm talking about church membership as in the global church, as in trusting the Lord with your life and with your eternity. That's what I'm talking about. That's the family that I'm talking about right now. Reach out to one of us and let's talk about how the gospel interacts with your life and your situation and your circumstances. But for right now, for this moment, for everyone, for this moment, let's go to the Lord and let's ask Him for boldness in the face of whatever we're going to face this week. For whatever circumstance we're going to come across this week. Let's go to the Lord and ask for boldness. Father God, we thank You for who You are. God, You are the same God that created the heavens and the earth. You created every single thing that we experience on a daily basis. Lord, You walked the Israelites out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery and potential torture and whatever else they were going through, Lord. You walked them out of Egypt. Lord, You split the sea. You split the waters and allowed them to walk on dry land. Lord, You gave us Your Son who willingly died and rose 3 days later. Lord, we know You are in charge. We know that You are sovereign over every situation. And so, Lord, we bring to You this morning the circumstances that we are experiencing. Circumstances at work, at home, with our neighbors, whatever our situations are, Lord. You know what our situations are. And so, Lord, we bring those to You. We acknowledge the reality of those things. But, Lord, we ask for Your boldness to speak the gospel, to bring the gospel truth into whatever situation we may be experiencing. We ask for your boldness to stand firm in the gospel, no matter what the potential circumstances, what the potential ramifications might be, Lord. We ask for boldness and courage to be focused more on you than we are on ourselves, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because you have already finished the story. You already know what's going to happen. You already know the outcome of what we're experiencing. And so, Lord, we thank you because we know that you're here, that you're real, and that you actually are working in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.